Thanks, Tom. As you heard, I'm speaking with Matthew Dos Santos, who leads the Litigation and Legal Advocacy Program of ACLU Oregon. Thanks so much for joining us, Matt. I know you've been super busy these last few days.
Thanks for having me on the show. It's always a pleasure to be on KBOO and to support awesome community radio.
Yeah, thanks. I think all of our listeners are aware that last week President Trump issued, among other anti-immigrant measures, an executive order banning entry into the United States by people from 7 Muslim-majority countries. Protests have erupted around the country, which is great to see, people jamming airports and city spaces to protest Trump's latest outrage. And the ACLU, with other organizations, immediately challenged this executive order in court. And we heard Saturday night that a federal district court judge issued a stay blocking Trump's discriminatory policy from taking effect. So what is happening now, and what is ACLU of Oregon doing in terms of immediate strategies to fight this order?
So, I mean, I think what you described is accurate. President Trump signed an executive order suspending all refugee resettlement for 120 days. And indefinitely suspending the resettlement of Syrian refugees. And then that order also included this ban of all entries of the nationals of 7 majority Muslim countries, Iraq, Syria, Sudan, Libya, Somalia, and Yemen for at least 90 days. And I say at least because, you know, President Trump, during his campaigning, promised us a Muslim ban, and we think he's taken a significant step towards carrying out this campaign threat. So I think we should operate with caution and expect that his administration will attempt to continue these kinds of, you know, we think shameful and unconstitutional bans. Now, what the ACLU of Oregon is doing about it, and really for folks who are tuning in on the web and, who are tuning in sort of more broadly, the ACLU's and other state affiliates and nationally is doing, is we are organizing volunteer attorneys with immigration experience, many of whom can speak languages from these banned countries and other languages, to greet folks at the airport, to talk to family members, to try and understand who is being detained, why they're being detained, and to get them an attorney as quickly as possible. We have already seen some of this happen at Portland International Airport, where just yesterday a lovely 66-year-old couple who were originally from Iran but who had been German citizens for 50 years, 50 years, were stopped for further interrogation for 2.5 hours. But we had folks there, voluntary attorneys there to greet them, and I'm just so pleased in the response that we're getting both from the community and the legal community more specifically.
Great. And, of course, Portland, as an international airport, does not receive so many international flights as does Seattle or San Francisco. But already you're seeing then these detaining of various immigrant people on flights.
Yeah, so yesterday folks weren't, you know, detained in the way that they were at San Francisco or SeaTac, but they were held for additional interrogation. And, you know, while I haven't done an in-depth interview with these folks, like, what I have heard from attorneys who were on the ground was that they, were separated and put through a rigorous screening process. And these folks who were in their mid-60s came out of that process exhausted, but, you know, unfazed and happy to be here.
Well, since 1987, I know with the help of the ACLU and other advocacy groups, Oregon has prohibited local law enforcement officers from enforcing federal immigration laws that target people based on their race or ethnic origin when they're not suspected of any criminal activities. So, and Oregon officials have reiterated this commitment in recent days. Do you see anything happening here in Oregon that might be different because of this kind of universal commitment to equality and refusing to have law enforcement officials interrogate or stop immigrants?
Yeah, well, you know, I think that in Oregon, you know, our state law reflects our Oregonian values, which is that we welcome our neighbors, whether they are refugees or, you know, immigrants from any part of the world, and that we will stand with them. And whether the Trump administration has seen the various powerful statements by local leaders, including everyone up through our attorney general yesterday, as a kind of bait to take stronger enforcement actions here, both in our communities and at our airports, your guess is as good as mine. But, you know, I think that it's just people should be proud to be in Oregon today, and they should, you know, continue to get involved, because it's going to take a lot more than just lawyers to stop the Trump administration. Frankly, we need folks to, you know, show up downtown today at noon to gather with Unite Oregon to stand up against this illegal and shameful Muslim ban. And that'll be happening at Terry Schrunk Plaza today at noon. And then, you know, contacting the ACLU, contacting other organizations like Unite Oregon that do this kind of work to volunteer their time, energy, and of course, we always need money to support the work that we're doing.
Right. So, and what happens when this more visible, you know, these visible protests at airports where people have been dramatically detained and halted in their carrying out their plans, whether they might be students or family members visiting other immigrants from these seven countries? What happens when that kind of attention is diminished and people are actually prevented from even obtaining visas to visit the United States?
Right. Well, so, I mean, I think that what you're getting at is a very scary part of this new administration, which is their repeated attempts to curtail the First Amendment, as well as our visibility into their actions through, you know, curtailing media access and by trying to do these sort of backroom deals that we don't have access to. And we need to pay very close attention to that. Anything that tries to either distract us from these issues or to obfuscate these issues is really dangerous, right? Because what it does is it removes people's ability to access attorneys because they don't even know to ask for help, and it prevents those of us who are watching from interjecting, right? From taking intervening steps, be they legal or political. So, I mean, I think that we need to be vigilant. And we need to be in communication with each other, meaning our allies, as well as continuing to communicate back to the Trump administration and Republicans in leadership that this kind of behavior is unacceptable and, frankly, un-American.
And perhaps most disturbing, at least to me, that in media reports recently, there have been no references to U.S. policies in Iraq, Iran, Yemen, and Syria, that these policies of the United States have created and contributed to this global refugee and migrant crisis.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is an astute observation and one that maybe not a lot of folks will necessarily connect the dots on. But I think that's right. And then, it's like insult to injury, right? You know, that one of our plaintiffs in our lawsuit in New York is, an Iraqi man who put his life on the line, literally, I'm not being hyperbolic, who put his life on the line to help the U.S. military in Iraq, who then came here on a, you know, visa provided by the U.S. government, and then was detained. It's just humiliating, right?
And it makes the U.S. behavior particularly egregious. And I mean, we wouldn't say ironic, because it's almost genocidal in terms of, you know, creating these policies that create violence and then not allowing refugees to enter the United States. But it also certainly echoes much of the 1920s rhetoric that led to massive restrictions of immigration of brown and black people. And there is that racist element here of restricting certain people from immigrating to the United States and trying to lead to some wholesale quota system, it almost sounds like.
Yeah, you know, we have seen this kind of behavior by the U.S. government in before. I think like what you referenced is a good example, sort of the, you know, what folks know as the Red Scare and, you know, of communism back in the 1950s, the McCarthyism and such is another example. But even well before that, you know, in response to, just for example, here locally, in response to fears of immigrants coming from Eastern Europe in the 1920s and 1930s, Oregon passed some really heinous laws, which, you know, we've been talking about, which basically allow for non-unanimous jury convictions. You know, how those two are related is that the then politicians basically said, and the media, you know, picked up on this back in the 1930s, that, well, we can't trust these immigrants, you know, with our justice system, so we're going to exclude them. And so that's why in Oregon, you can be convicted of a felony of a vote of 10 to 2, not by a unanimous vote like you can in the rest of the states except for Louisiana.
Yes, and that's another topic that we need to bring you or someone else from ACLU to talk about. Oregon and Louisiana, I think, are the only ones that have that kind of rule about jury systems and determining the fate of accused.
Yeah, that's right. And you'll see more from us, you know, in the coming weeks and months on that specific issue. But I imagine you'll be seeing a lot of us just generally.
Yeah, yes. So, Matt Dos Santos, just in the remaining minute that we have, what are some steps that people can take? You've told us how to stay informed, but other actions. You mentioned the Unite Oregon March or rally today.
That's right.
In downtown Portland, 12 to 2 p.m. at the Terry Schrunk Plaza. What else can people do?
Yeah. So, you know, we put a statement out about folks who may be fearful of traveling right now. That statement is available on our website, which is, you know, just type in ACLU of Oregon into Google and it'll take you right there. You know, share that widely with your communities so people know how to get in touch with us. You know, you can also, you know, write in to us and offer to volunteer. I think that what we need right now is as many people as possible ready to stand up to Trump's hateful and shameful rhetoric.
Thanks so much, Matt Dos Santos, and we'll let you get back to work.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show, as always.
Okay.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.